I've written a column in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Confessions of a Well-Intentioned Preacher. It details how I mistakenly ignored or explained away entire parts of Scripture in order to protect my hearers from legalism. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Lyman Stone writes about the certainty he found in the presence of Christ in his word and sacraments. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
I would cite you to the Apostle Paul and his clear and wise command in Romans 13 to obey the laws of the government, because God has ordained the government for his purposes.
I will make you birthday cakes, cookies, brownies, you know, sell you anything else in the shop. I just don't do cakes for same-sex weddings.
When you're getting older and you see all of your kids loving the gospel and you think to yourself, thank God, here is a treasure and this treasure will outlive me.
There is no 100% certain factual case. There's always the possibility we got it wrong. But look, it's been 2,000 years and they haven't found a body.
Moms in labor, love, issues, etc.
Now, be honest, if I would have told you even 5 years ago, but let's just be safe and say 10 years ago, that there would be teachers who are being, well, in essence, fired, forced to resign because in public school, they refused to use the proper pronouns. We're not talking about an English classroom. We're talking about an orchestra teacher in Indiana. The proper pronouns when referring to their students. Now, these pronouns happen to be the opposite pronouns of the student's actual gender, but the student wants to be referred to maybe a he as a she or a she as a he, and that would be, remember, this is 10 years ago, grounds for firing or forced resignation. You would have said, oh, either that will never happen, or yeah, it'll happen, but it's going to be 50 years from now when America's a lot crazier than it is today. And here we are 10 years down the line. I would have said it wouldn't happen. I couldn't even imagine such a scenario. And now such scenarios are not only imaginable and plausible, but they're happening. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Monday afternoon, June the 18th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about transgenderism in the public classroom. Joy Pullman will be our guest for the first few minutes of the program. Tom Baker will join us after that. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on Paul baptizing the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16. Then in hour two of Issues Etc., it is looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary. Dr. Carl Fikencher will be our guest. We'll be looking forward to that gospel reading and the propers that go along with it of Jesus walking on the water. Feel free to join us with your questions and your comments. Our call-in number 1-877-623-MYIE. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And our Issues Etc. comment line for our beloved on-demand listeners, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about transgenderism in public schools, Joy Pullman, managing editor of The Federalist, author of the book The Education Invasion, and a recent column for The Federalist titled Indiana Teacher, I Was Forced to Resign Because I Won't Pretend Boys Can Be Girls. Joy, welcome back.
Hi.
Tell us the story of this Indiana orchestra teacher.
John Klug is a Indiana orchestra teacher. About his town is kind of west of Indianapolis, which is in the center of the state. So it's real flyover country, normal America. And in spring this year, and I know this because I actually read a copy of it, his school district sent all the teachers in their district a new policy about transgender students, and it required, among other things, that once students with the, if they brought in a letter from a medical professional and their parents to the school, they were able to, in the school's record system, say that they were their opposite sex. So a boy could come in and say, I have a letter from my parents, I have a letter from a medical personnel. It wasn't specified what kind of medical personnel, Anyway, and they would change their school records. And after that, all the teachers would be required to use the students, to refer to the students as the sex opposite of what they were. You know, so you would have to call a boy a girl if he had gotten these letters registered with the school system. So this teacher, John Klug, said, he wrote a letter to his school board saying, look, I can't. Well, actually what he did was first he started calling his students by their last names because he thinks it is, he's right. It is both scientifically and religiously objectionable to say that a boy is a girl is a boy. That contradicts reality, as well as, you know, the faith of the majority of the world's adherents, you know, about God creating male and female beings. So to comply with these rules without violating his conscience or being forced to say things that he thought were flatly untrue, Mr. Klug started calling his students by their last names. So that way he would not have to, you know, use false pronouns and he wouldn't have to call them. Sometimes these kids were going by androgynous or opposite sex nicknames or names. So that way he was trying to avoid it. But he also sent a letter to his school board saying, look, you know, you are forcing me to say things that I don't believe is true. I'm a teacher. I'm an American. I have a First Amendment right to say what I think is the truth. I mean, I'm going to have to resign from the school district, but I don't want to. You know, you should change this policy. It's not fair to me, and it's not fair to my students, you know, to kind of slant things in this way. And long story short, you know, just I want to say, I think it's a week from today, last Monday, the school district sat while several hundred parents went to the school board meeting after hearing what was happening in their schools. A number of parents, you know, came up and testified saying, I didn't even know this was happening. We didn't know the school district had made this policy. You should inform us of this beforehand. Because besides the pronouns issue, the school district had said that transgender students would be competing and living, using the bathrooms, using the school locker rooms as the opposite sex. So they were having, you know, it was allowing access for boys to go into girls' locker rooms and bathrooms, playing on their sports and vice versa. But parents didn't know about this. You know, the letter from the district was sent out to teachers in January, and this was June, you know, that parents showed up at the school board meeting after the teacher kind of sounded the alarm and said, look, I have to resign over this. You're forcing me to do something I think, you know, is wrong and false. I'm being forced to lie to my students. So at the school board meeting where several hundred parents showed up and were testifying about this, the school board members, say local reporters who were in attendance, I read a number of local reports, the school board members sat there and all they did was say, you know, thanks for your testimony while each person talked. They said nothing else. They voted to accept the teacher's resignation. They made no changes to their transgender policy and they concluded the meeting. So that's basically what has a kind of a brief recounting of what's happened with this story so far.
Where does Title IX come into this, if at all?
That's an interesting question. So for your listeners, Title IX is this federal, is a provision in a 1960s federal law that was meant to require that women get equal access to sports and all kinds of other facilities in education. So the idea behind it was equal opportunity for women. And that didn't even work out so well for women and for men because ever since the law was enacted, there have been it's been used kind of as a wedge to reduce men's sports. So for, I mean, boys just show more natural interest in sports than girls do. That's just how we're made, I guess. But because of Title IX, school districts already have had to close down a number of sports programs because in order to try to get kind of equal numbers of boys and girls despite them having different natural preferences. And so that's, and so the law has been focused on women, you know, the whole entire time. The law itself, you know, says that basically, schools can't discriminate based on a student's sex. So they have to give them, you know, they have to give girls an education. They have to let girls have athletics. They have to have boys in education. They have to, you know, let boys have athletics and so on and so forth. You know, girls can't have much worse bathrooms and facilities than the boys, so on and so forth. So the idea behind it was, you know, to say you can't, you know, treat the sexes differently in terms of their education opportunity. So what transgender activists have been doing in recent years is going typically through the court system, but they also use the Obama administration to do the same thing, was rather than going through Congress to change the law to give special preferences not only to women but also to transgendered people, they have been using courts to change the meaning of the law without actually going to Congress to get the law changed. So the way they've been doing that is having the law reinterpreted. So basically, you know, the law reinterpreted to say that sex is the same thing as gender. And I know that sounds, to normal people, that might sound like, of course, sex and gender are the same thing. But transgender ideology is based on divorcing femininity, things that girls tend to do, say, from the fact of them actually being female, having XX chromosomes. And so they think that sex and gender are two different things, which is how someone could theoretically be a transgender, have the body of a man, and they say the mind of a woman, which is incoherent, but we don't need to get into that, or vice versa. So through the court system, transgender activists have been saying that because the law says you can't discriminate based on sex, that also means that you have to afford these special preferences that were granted to women also to people who claim that they are women, and vice versa. And so even though Congress has not, that is not the meaning that they meant when they wrote the law in the 1960s, and it has never been interpreted by courts to mean that ever since, or by any federal presidential administration, courts have started to accept this claim, even though there's been no underlying change to the law. And what that has been is produced a ratchet effect where school districts across the country are making policies like this Indiana Brownsburg school district, because otherwise they are taken, you know, to court for lawsuits. They are open for being sued because courts are accepting that interpretation, even though it flatly contradicts the facts.
So just let me get this straight before we take our break real quick here. Title IX, sure. Which was predicated on the binary male and female. It makes no sense if
that's
there's
right.
not boy-girl, boy sports and girl sports, is now being reinterpreted
right.
by the courts under the urging of transgender activists to blur and erase the distinction between boys and girls, even crossing over the distinction.
Yeah, that's a great summary.
Joy Pullman is our guest. She'll be with us for a few minutes on the other side of the break. We're talking about transgenderism in public schools on the occasion of a story of an Indiana orchestra teacher who was forced to resign because he simply could not in good conscience use the wrong names and the wrong pronouns for his students. Maybe their education was more important than whatever agenda the school board was pushing. We'll talk about that after this. La, 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 la.
Boys and boys will be girls. It's a mixed up, muddled up, shook up world. It's up and roll. La 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 la.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. EdGruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at EdGruesome.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
O Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live, weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joy Pullman of The Federalist is our guest. We're talking about transgenderism in public schools. Now, Joy, the schools are there, at least they used to be there, in order to educate our children. But Now it seems as though the goals of education have been hijacked to some degree, and they are being taught things at shockingly young ages. What are they being taught, sometimes without their parents' knowledge or consent, when it comes to transgenderism?
Well, that's actually a really good question, and it's really pertinent not to Indiana, but also to the rest of the country, because most of the states in the country, when they have laws that require that parents be allowed to learn what their kids are learning in school, which sounds kind of like a ridiculous law, I feel like that should be self-evident, but there are these laws, and there have been a need for these kinds of laws. But right now, because what is called gender identity, which is, you know, one of the kind of special terms for transgender politics, it's such a new thing, so it hasn't typically been covered in these kinds of laws where parents have a right to learn what their own kids are learning with the tax dollars that we're all sending public schools. So Indiana is one of those states, and just this spring, some folks in the state, and I live in Indiana, tried to get our state legislature, which is controlled by Republicans, both houses of the legislature and the governorship are Republican. So you would think, you know, people think conservative, often, you know, social conservatives, you know, family-friendly type of folks, but they didn't prove to be in this case, and that's not the first time. So what our representatives did was basically say, look, we are not going to, they had a bill before them that would have required that parents be informed beforehand if kids were going to be taught about any sexual concept, including transgender politics, but also, you know, just basic sex ed sorts of things. Of course, that's a sensitive area, and parents are particularly concerned about it. And the bill would have said, you know, you have to go to parents, you have to let them know what your kids are going to be learning before it happens. Again, seems like a really simple concept, but our lawmakers punted on it. They said, no, look, you know, this is a conservative state. We can't, basically, their cover was, we don't really believe that anyone's going to ever teach anything dangerous to kids in the state or something that parents might object to, so we're not going to secure that right for them because we just don't see a need for this law. Well, I mean, just, I want to say 2 months later, you know, after they, actually, it was since this all in Brownsburg happened in January, before and during them actually making this claim, it was in Brownsburg School District, that the district was doing that very thing that they were saying, you know, isn't going to happen in a red state like Indiana. And I know this is not something that's just happening in one school district. I mean, after publishing that article that we're talking about today, I had a flood of emails from parents and from teachers saying, you know, I'm a teacher. I am scared to accidentally call my student the wrong pronoun. You know, she entered the school year as Susan and she's leaving as John. You know, I've known her as a girl. I'm trying to obey my district's policy and I'm afraid I could get fired over this. And, you know, parents, I had a friend tell me that her assistant pastor, his daughter is going to public school. It's a good school district. It's really well regarded. You know, if things were going well, then she came home and starting to question, you know, oh, I'm not really sure that I'm a girl. I might be gender fluid, you know. And he was really floored by that. He did not see it coming. And this is conservative people, you know, faithful, you know, biblical, you know, sorts of conservative churches. And when people like that are blindsided by something like this, you know that it's serious and it's happening. I think folks would really just expect that it is happening right now and in their local schools and with their kids.
What's the end game? What's the goal as far as we can discern on the part of transgender activists? What do they want?
Well, I'm just going to answer this bluntly because we don't have much time. I really think, honestly, is that we know from psychological research that when you expose young children to traumatic things, I mean, it's traumatic for a 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old child to be thinking about the actual ramifications of sex. They don't know, you know, they don't know what it is. That's why we protect little children. It's too adult for them. They're not prepared to understand something that is that big and deep and important. So this is why, you know, we don't show kids, we have ratings for movies. We don't, you know, good parents protect their kids from evil. We don't show them shocking violence. It does actually psychologically traumatize them. And people who are psychologically traumatized are far more likely to latch on to things like transgenderism, like saying, oh, maybe the reason that I feel so confused inside myself is that I'm actually a girl in a boy's body. And so I really think that transgender activists Either it's deliberate, but it's definitely going to be one of the effects is that they're spreading a social contagion by basically getting to children at a young age before they're capable of handling, you know, ridiculous and crazy and extreme ideas like this. And it affects the children so much that they're recruiting more folks into their movement.
Joy Pullman is managing editor of The Federalist, author of the book The Education Invasion, and a recent column for The Federalist titled Indiana Teacher, I Was Forced to Resign Because I Won't Pretend Boys Can Be Girls. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Joy, thank you for being our guest.
Oh, thank you.